Good morning. The Bible reading this morning comes from Deuteronomy chapter 30. Just be aware that what's on the screen is a different version. It's the NLV, and I'll be reading from the NIV. So chapter 30, verse 11. The offer of life or death. Now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven, so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea, so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart, so you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice, and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give you, or to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Continuing on chapter 31, verse 7 to 8. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their forefathers to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged.
Good morning. It's nice to see you here this morning. Am I echoey? Am I echoey this morning? Is it all right? Yeah? Okay. Tell me if it's too echoey. Okay. So, as Cameron mentioned, today is the next instalment of looking at the book of Joshua. We're talking today about inheriting the land, but before we do, let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this opportunity that we have to be here this morning, to be able to spend time together to encourage and support each other, to be able to share our life and to be able to learn more about you. And Lord, I would ask that as I seek to unpack these words from your word, that you would enable me to do it faithfully and in a way that we can all understand and be challenged by, so that we can grow to become more like the people you desire us to be. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So as has been mentioned numerous times, today is this church's 94th anniversary. So that's 94 years of people coming into this property and celebrating the life of this church. This is this church in 1924. I'm sure if you stood out the front, you would notice that it looks significantly different today. Had a bit of a renovation. Another one. Building next door added. And then the house next door to that, that we call 1042. It's a church that over those years has changed in many different ways. The buildings have changed. The number of people who meet here. In Yep. Okay. So the types of people who meet here has also changed. The different programs that are run out of this church, even in the 7 years that I've been here, they've changed. There's been a lot of change in this church, and it's only survived because people have continued to be faithful. Can I say we have inherited a rich history from the men and the women who've gone before us. Men and women who were willing to make the changes that needed to be made in order for this church to continue to be relevant and accessible to the community. People who were willing to do whatever was necessary so that this church could continue to be a witness. Every one of us here has benefited from their faithfulness. I would even say that the buildings that we're sitting here in today, the strategic location of our property, did you know that according to the Roads and Traffic Authority, over 60,000 cars go past this church every day? 60,000. That's not counting people walking past. It's an incredibly strategic location that we've been blessed with. We've also inherited the reputation that we have in this community. And I've had people come to the church seeking help. And when I've asked them why they've come here, they've said, oh, we've heard that this is a church that helps people. We've inherited lots of people that are now part of this church that have come through the witness of people who've gone before us. This is what we look like today. Very different. And we look like this because of the people who've gone ahead of us, who accepted God's invitation and chose to live for Him. Today we're going to look at Israel. They're another group of people who received an inheritance from God, a bit of a different inheritance to the one we've got. So if you think back to what we've learned over the past five weeks, you would remember that in that part of the book of Joshua, we've seen a group of people moving towards their inheritance. We've seen Joshua as their leader, leading them towards what God wanted to give them. And through his leadership, the people then being enabled to overcome the obstacles that came their way. They had to overcome the flooded Jordan River, the fortified cities and the powerful enemies that they came up against. And you know, we've seen that the way ahead for them was anything but easy. It wasn't straightforward, but whenever they chose to obey and follow God's direction, they knew success. Whenever they chose to ignore or reject God's ways, then they knew defeat and sometimes even death. Their journey was a journey of highs and lows, a journey of good times, but also not so good times. And now today we get to chapter 13, and it's a turning point in this book of Joshua, because finally, after all of these years, the people get to move into what God had promised. They get to move into their inheritance of the land of Canaan. So in verse 1 of chapter 13, God says to Joshua in front of the people, he says, "You're growing old, and much of the land remains to be conquered. This is the territory that remains, all the regions of the Philistines and the Geshurites and the larger territory of the Canaanites. I myself will drive these people out of the land ahead of the Israelites. So be sure to give this land to Israel as a special possession, just as I have commanded you." Joshua's getting old. He's been a good leader, but he's getting old. And God wants to see his people settled. So even though there's still lots of cities that still haven't been conquered, God says, "That's okay. I'm going to deal with them. Joshua, I'm giving you a new role as leader. It's not to keep fighting the battles in the cities. No, your new role now
is to be responsible for dividing up the land. Your responsibility now is, instead of battle, it's settling down. I want you to help my people make a home for themselves in the land. It's the land that's been promised to them. It's part of their covenant relationship. And God says, now I want my people to live in this land as tenants. Not owners, tenants. I want them to care for the land, to manage it, and to enjoy its resources. You know, it has always been God's intention that his people would care and manage and enjoy his creation. If you look right back in Genesis, when God created the first people, he blessed them. And what did he say? He said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and rule over it. He put them in the Garden of Eden and he said, tend and watch over what I have made. Now, we know that things didn't quite work out the way that God had intended, because Adam and Eve and the people that followed them chose to go their own way. And so that relationship with God was broken. And with it was also broken their connection with the land. But God is a loving God. And he wasn't content to leave it that way. He wanted to restore what had been broken. So he made a covenant or an agreement with Abraham. And he said to him, leave your native country, your relatives and your father's family, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. And all the families on earth will be blessed through you. I love that last part of the verse. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. This was God's promise to Abraham, that his descendants would one day inherit the land that Abraham at the time was living on. It was land that stretched from the border of Egypt all the way up and across to the Euphrates River. God went on to affirm that covenant with Abraham's son, Isaac, with his grandson, Jacob. He renewed it with Moses and with the Israelites as they were in the wilderness, and again with Joshua when he commissioned him to be leader. God is faithful. He kept this promise in front of them, in front of every leader. And now, hundreds of years later, God keeps his promise. But as we heard in the reading that Jenny read out to us earlier, it's a promise that comes with some conditions. God's people could live in the land and enjoy God's provision and his presence if they remained obedient and faithful to him. They could know and enjoy all the blessings that God wanted to give them if they chose to be his witness and blessing to the people around them. You know, when as I read through this, I find myself thinking that God could have just given them the land. It would have been so easy for God to just clear out whatever he didn't want there and just give his people the land, but he didn't. And I think that's because God wanted them to want it. He wanted them to appreciate what he was giving them. He didn't want it to be so easy that they would think that they'd achieved it. He didn't want them to think that they actually didn't really need God. He didn't want them to think that they could live without, that they could live however they wanted and still receive his blessing. I would say it's exactly the same for us today. You know, God could go ahead of every one of us and he could make our life so easy. I know some of the challenges that some of you are facing right now, the challenges that I'm facing. And I know how easy it would be for God to just go ahead and just pave the way, solve the problems. But he doesn't do that because he wants us to learn and to grow and to depend on him. You know, as a church, God could go ahead and solve our finance problem. You know, in the blink of an eye, he could just provide abundantly more than we even need. But he doesn't. Because he loves us. Because he wants to transform us. He wants to draw us closer to him, but also closer to each other. To unite us around his purposes. To make us and our faith grow even stronger. You know, the Israelites had to demonstrate their commitment to the ways of God before they received their inheritance. They had to live in a way that said, you know what, God, we are with you. We are your people. We're with you and we will follow what you say, before they could realize his purpose of them being a witness and a blessing to the nations around them. I believe God is waiting for us to demonstrate our commitment to living as his people before we receive our inheritance of being his witness and blessing the community around us. I would say that some of us are like the Israelites. Some of us want and maybe even expect that we can have that inheritance without the buy-in, without the cost, without having to make any personal sacrifice or having to do anything that's uncomfortable or difficult. But that's not how God works. It wasn't how he worked in Joshua's day, and it isn't how God works today. See, being a follower of Jesus is all about invitation and challenge. It's about us accepting God's invitation of entering into a relationship with him and the challenge of then living a life that is obedient and faithful to that relationship. For Israel, that meant they needed to follow certain laws and practices, like circumcision of all males, observing special food laws, keeping the Sabbath. These things demonstrated to the nations around them that they were God's special people. And they showed God that they were serious and committed to him and his purposes. You know, we don't have to follow all of those rules and laws anymore, because we're now identified as God's people through our choice to believe and become followers of Jesus Christ. We demonstrate that relationship by our love for God, by our love for other people and for his God's created world. Can I say that when we show this kind of unexpected, extravagant love, we demonstrate our commitment to living as the people of God, and then we get to enjoy God's blessing. We get to enjoy God's blessing exactly the way that Israel did. You know, toward the end of Joshua, the book of Joshua, we read these words. So the Lord gave to Israel all the land he had sworn to give to their ancestors, and they took possession of it and they settled there. And the Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had promised their ancestors. None of their enemies could stand against them, for the Lord helped them conquer all their enemies. Not a single one of all the good promises the Lord had given to the family of Israel was left unfulfilled. Everything he had spoken came true. What an incredible gift God gave to his people because they were faithful. They received their inheritance and everyone got to enjoy it. If you read through chapters 13 to 19, which we haven't done today because it's incredibly repetitive, it goes through the different tribes and clans and families, because that's how the land was divided up. Everyone got their own part of it. As you read through those chapters, although it seems repetitive, one of the things that you see clearly is you see God's heart and you see his character. You see that God is inclusive. You see he is welcoming and just, that he is generous and merciful, because he includes everyone. No one is left out. You see the neglected, the vulnerable and the oppressed all receive land which otherwise they would have been overlooked. You see women who had no male relative given land, something unheard of at that time. You see God establish cities of refuge that provided a place of protection for those who needed it. You see priests given special place in 48 different towns so that they could continue to be a spiritual influence right throughout the whole land. God takes care of everyone. This piece of land was something that these people had been dreaming of, hoping for, and walking towards for a very, very long time. It was the promise of this land that enabled them to keep going when they were living as slaves in Egypt, that enabled them to keep moving forward when they were wandering for so many years in the wilderness, when they were coming up against obstacles that seemed too hard to overcome. These promises kept them going, because they believed that God would honor his promises, that God would be their God and would bless them. And you know what? God doesn't disappoint them. They receive their inheritance. So what about us? How is that relevant for us? Well, our inheritance today is a relationship with God that will never end. The writer of the book of Hebrews says, that is why he is the one who mediates a new covenant between God and people, so that all who are called can receive the eternal inheritance God promised. For Christ died to set them free from the penalty of their sins they had committed under that first covenant. Peter describes our inheritance as priceless. An inheritance kept in heaven for us, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. It's an inheritance we can be confident of because Paul says the Holy Spirit is God's guarantee that he will give us the inheritance he promised. An inheritance he has purchased for us to be his own people, so we would praise and glorify him. Our inheritance isn't a block of land. Our inheritance actually comes in two different parts. The first is that we get our first part when we choose to believe and become followers of Jesus Christ. That part means that we are welcomed into the kingdom of God, that we receive his forgiveness for our sins, and that we enter into a relationship with God. The second part will, for all of us, come when Jesus returns to make things right. It will come when Jesus comes to restore what's been broken, to give us our full inheritance. I mean, that's the overarching story of the Bible. It's God's story. It tells about his relationship with humanity that was one time broken, but will one day be redeemed. The relationship with creation restored and relationships between people made right. If you read the books of Isaiah 65 and Revelation 21, you see this beautiful description of what that will look like. It's a time when there will be no poverty. no oppression, no violence. A world that will be renewed and restored the way that God always intended it to be. That's not our reality yet, though, is it? For now, we live in what is known as the now, but not yet. The time in between Jesus' first and second coming. But you know, this isn't a time for us to just sit back and do nothing. It's not a time for us to just relax and just wait for Jesus to return. This in-between time is the time for us to be living out the values of the kingdom of God that we already belong to. It's us, through the power of God's Spirit, living out our identity as the people of God. We do that when we come together as one for Sunday church. When we give generously of our time and our skills and our abilities and our money. Doing that to support the workers God is doing in and through our church all around the world. We do it when we pray, when we seek God's direction and we choose to follow what He shows us, when we practice hospitality, kindness, justice and love. You know, it is not enough to just say, "I believe." It's not enough to just say that you've changed your religion or you've changed who you now call God. Being a Christian is about knowing and following the ways of Jesus Christ in our everyday life. We do it individually and we do it communally as His people. God gave Israel a land for them to live in as His people and be His witness. I want to say He's given us this place. He's given us these buildings, this property, and He's given us each other. So the question is, how are we using what God has given us? How are we using our strategic position here on Victoria Road? Our proximity to thousands of people who live just around us here in units. Many without family and friendship connections. Many not confident with English. How are we using the resources that we have? The buildings and the spaces that we've inherited from the people who've gone before us. How are we using the different people who make up our church today? We are a valuable resource. We each bring our experience, our abilities, our giftings, and our passion. How are we using those things for God's purposes to be realized? You know, God has blessed us with so much, and He expects us to be using it in a way that will be a blessing to others, a way that will enable them to know Jesus for themselves. How are we doing that? Cameron mentioned that next week we have a special meeting and we're going to talk more about those things. But just for a moment, I want you to just stop and imagine what it could look like if we actually chose to bless our local community by using our spaces here. What would it look like if we chose to use our space to give our local community a place to gather, a place to meet, to share food, to share stories, to share life, a place to share resources, to make new friends, to build connections? You know, many people in this church are already doing that, but they're doing it as individuals. I hear of people who are sharing tools, sharing lawnmowers, whippersnippers, trailers. People who are giving driving lessons to people in the community, who are babysitting, cooking meals, offering advice, calling people who are on their own, people who are being a friend, opening their homes and their lives. And I am so incredibly encouraged every time I hear those stories. But imagine if we did these things intentionally as a church. Imagine if we opened our doors and our lives to this community. What would that say to people around us about Jesus and the kingdom of God? You know, God has invited us into an incredible inheritance of relationships and new life. The challenge for us is to live in it. It's to move into what God has promised and to bring His blessing to the people around us so that they can know God. There is an opportunity for every one of us to contribute in some way to that. For some of us, that will be in a small way. For some, it will be in a much larger way. For some, it will be financially. For some, it will be time. For some, it will be your home. For some, it will be the gifts or the experience you bring. But every single one of us has something to offer. I want to leave you with the challenge to consider how you're doing that. Let's pray. Lord God, we've been reminded this morning that we don't just have the things that we have because we're clever or we're good. We have these things because you have enabled people to go before us to provide the way. And Lord, we are so blessed by their faithfulness and their obedience. Lord, we know that you are the God of the past, the present, and the future. And we are really just a small part in your grand story, but we are a part that you have given to partner with you in this space at this time. Responsibility, Lord, to make you known to the people living around us. And so we would ask that you would enable us to be obedient and faithful, to be hospitable and generous and kind. And we ask these things for the sake of your name and the kingdom of God. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Our final song